We're talking about procrastination here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Scientists have studied brain scans and found a biological component to why some people are habitual procrastinators. When we put off what we really shouldn't put off, and we know what's going on here, we're avoiding the task at hand, and we know that avoiding said task is probably a bad idea. And the horror, we put ourselves through this agony. Anyway, does this cycle sound familiar? We're at 800-642-1234. Are you a chronic procrastinator? What have you noticed about your procrastination? What makes it worse? Have you been able to find anything that makes it better? Fuchsia Sirwa is a psychology professor at the University of Sheffield in the UK, where she studies procrastination and perfectionism as health risks. Fuchsia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks very much, Kate. I'm happy to be chatting with you.
So what is it about procrastination? Why do we do this? Why do we delay things intentionally?
Now, I mean, that is the million-dollar question. I think the one thing about procrastination is it is irrational. It's not something that makes any real sense when people do it, especially because when we procrastinate, it tends to have a series of negative consequences for us. Increased stress, we can disappoint the people around us, we can disappoint ourselves. And what it comes down to, really, because it is irrational, is it has a lot to do with our moods and our emotions. So when we procrastinate, it's our emotions that are dictating us to sort of put aside that paper that we have to report and, you know, go, you know, binge on Netflix or what have you. We procrastinate to help manage our moods. We don't have an effective way of managing the negative feelings that we have about a particularly boring or aversive or challenging tasks, and the best way to manage those moods is to put the task aside because we immediately feel better, especially if we go and do something that feels really good, like, you know, like I said, going to binging on the internet or going out and doing something fun.
And it's really easy to blame ourselves for being lazy, for being poorly organized, bad on time management, but the research shows that's not the case, that it's this mood thing that's going on that really we can't always control our emotions.
No, that's exactly it. I think, you know, for decades we've heard about, you know, your procrastinator, learn to manage your time better, you know, schedule things. And, oh, if we see someone in our lives who's procrastinating, we tend to think of them as lazy and we get on their case and the worst thing you can do actually is get on a procrastinator's case and be really hard on them, because in fact, most procrastinators are quite hard on themselves, especially the chronic ones. And that only actually adds to the problem, because if you get critical towards somebody who's already really critical about themselves and their inability to follow through on something they know they should be doing because of not being able to manage those emotions, what happens? They feel worse. They already feel bad about the task. Now they feel worse. So that's not going to push them to actually doing something. It's actually going to push them more into procrastination.
Does procrastination ebb and flow? Are there any cycles to procrastination?
I think there can be. It's different with a lot of people. I think a lot of times when what people think is procrastination as well is not necessarily procrastination. So one of the things you see that happens, and this goes against the whole idea of procrastination being, you know, sort of laziness and being not productive, is some of the worst procrastinators actually have really tidy houses. Everything's organized because that big task that they're supposed to be doing that they're procrastinating on, they'll go find something else, you know, such as completely cleaning out the garage and organizing all the spices on their spice shelf alphabetically.
I related to that one.
When you do that, you feel productive, right? Then you go, see, I'm not lazy. I'm not procrastinating. I'm doing something. But you're not actually doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing. And that's the problem. And so you can get into this cycle where you do these other really non-consequential, unimportant tasks, make yourself feel like you're productive and not procrastinating. And that actually just feeds back into, oh, it's okay to procrastinate on that big, nasty report I have to write, because look at all the other stuff I'm getting done, right?
We're talking with Fuchsia Sirwa. She is a professor of psychology at the University of Sheffield in the UK. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a tendency to procrastinate? Maybe perhaps you manage not to procrastinate most of the time. How are you able to do that? And what do you need to do? How do you deal with those negative emotions you might have about doing a particular task? You can join in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Procrastinating can lead to these negative emotions, Fuchsia, like more anxiety about the task that just needs to get done. There's guilt, there's blame of yourself, there's that low self-esteem. And yet we go through these cycles again and again. Even after these negative experiences, why do we do that? And you know, even after all of that negativity?
I think it has to do with sort of the irrationality of those emotions. So we can say, oh, I mean, look at how, you know, all the stress that I caused myself and all the negative consequences and how I feel about it. I hate feeling this bad about myself. And why don't I just get on with it? But people who are really kind of hardcore chronic procrastinators, it goes back to that issue of the mood, not finding a way to deal or manage with that mood. And sometimes it's poor coping skills or, you know, if you avoidance as a coping skill, and actually you can think about procrastination as sort of a form of avoidance, it's immediately rewarding, right? Mm. So you've got this task that's really nasty and you're really stressed and it's threatening, you know, maybe it's threatening your self-esteem. You're worried about not being good enough or not pleasing other people or not, you know, living up to your own standards. And so you procrastinate and put off on the task. And then but every time you step away from that, you're relieved of those feelings. So the immediate reward of not engaging in that task makes you not have to think about all those negative past feelings. But the problem is, too, some of the research that's been done has shown that procrastinators feel bad about their past procrastination.
Oh, and so they carry baggage.
Yeah, well, that's just it. And then so now you're in position and you're procrastinating again. And you remember all the horrible things that happened last time you procrastinated. And because it's about this sort of this critical mass of negative mood that kicks in, and that's what pushes people to procrastinate. If you, load on all the memories of when things didn't go well last time and the stress from, you know, that procrastination onto your current instance where you could, you know, choose to procrastinate or not. Again, it just sort of hits that level of not being able to manage those negative emotions. And what do? You disengage, you avoid. I'll come back to it later. When I calm down, when I'm less stressed, when I'm more focused, when I'm more tired, you know, less tired, right? Then, so you get into this whole thing though, you're almost kind of thinking, well, the future me will be better at managing all these negative emotions around this task. The future me is going to be more focused. Future me will be a better writer. The future me will be more organized. The future me will be less tired. And so we kind of put our future selves up on a pedestal as being almost like superheroes. Well, except, tomorrow or next week when it comes around, you're still that same person who can't manage those feelings.
Well, procrastination is getting a pretty bad rap here, Fuchsia. Are there any benefits to procrastinating? Is it ever an effective coping mechanism?
No. I say that right out because I think a lot of people, you know, there has been this sort of talk and some people have talked about positive procrastination. There are different forms of delay. So all procrastination is delay, but not all delay is procrastination.
Hmm. Help us understand that.
Yeah, I know. It's my colleague, Dr. Tim Pitchell at Carleton University, that's one of his famous quotes that I like to bring up, because what it means is that you can delay for good reason. So if you delay because somebody's asked you to delay, right? So if your boss says, you actually got to stop that report and I need you to work on this, that's not procrastination. If you were going to clean out the garage and, you know, your partner says, no, actually, we've got to focus on cleaning up the back room because the parents are, you know, coming in for a visit on the weekend. That's not procrastination. So it has to be voluntary. It has to be something you decided to do. And it's done knowing there's negative consequences. So those are kind of the ingredients of procrastination. Sometimes, though, you'll see that people put off things. And they'll put off things because I need more information or I'm just not sure yet if this is the right course of action. we would call that sagacious delay, sort of a wise delay. That's not procrastination. You're saying, I'm going to action this, but I'm not going to action it right now because I need more information. I need to think about this a bit more. So that's slightly different than real, true, hardcore procrastination where there, you know there's going to be negative consequences.
Let's go to Marcus now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Hi. So I have to admit that I am a self-confirmed like master procrastinator. my thing is that I'm super OCD and I'm super perfectionist, and I know about organizing the spice cabinet all alphabetized, and my house is immaculate most of the time. So my thing is that I feel like I will procrastinate if I feel that I'm not going to be able to go out and give 100% to whoever I'm working for or working with, because I feel like I'm cheating them. And I realize that it's also cheating them by not necessarily going or doing whatever. I feel like I always want to deliver the best, very best that I can. And I will procrastinate if I feel like I can't that day.
Fuchsia, what do we know there?
Well, we do know that perfectionism is strongly related to this tendency to procrastinate. So chronic procrastinators are often perfectionists. And that's one of the things that feeds in. So exactly what you've described there, Marcus, is that's it. It's the perfectionism now that's driving the procrastination, because it's got to be your 100%. It's got to be your best, right? Otherwise, you won't get engaged with that. And that, that adds to the difficulty, because there, it's not what you would want to deal with is the perfectionism. And it once, you've managed to kind of get past a little bit of that perfectionism to the point you can go, it's okay if it's not my 100%. It's okay if it's not perfect. If you can get to that point, that can relieve a lot of the anxiety about it having to be perfect, right? Because the anxiety about having to be perfect is driving the negative feelings and making you want to put it off a bit as well. So I think in that case, it's definitely about the perfectionism.
We're talking with Fuchsia Sirwa. She is a psychology professor at the University of Sheffield. She studies procrastination. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Was there a point in your life where your tendency to procrastinate peaked, but then it got better? What helped you? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about what happens when we procrastinate and what's going on in our brains. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And there's this body of evidence that says procrastination is bad for us. A study from 2013 found that the worst offenders tend to have lower salaries, shorter employment spans, and are more likely to be jobless or unemployed. And then there's this other thing. Procrastinators tend to be more stressed, and there's evidence that that can damage our health. Are you a chronic procrastinator? What have you noticed about your tendencies to delay important things? What makes it worse? Have you been able to find workarounds? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. University of Sheffield psychology professor Fuchsia Sirwa stays with us, and she studies procrastination as a health risk. So, Fuchsia, let's look at the medical side of procrastination. What do we know about the health risks?
Well, this is an area I've been researching, I guess, for over 15 years. And one of the things that's consistently come through is that procrastinators, especially chronic procrastinators, tend to be more stressed. They tend to experience a greater number of acute health problems, such as headaches, stomach issues, insomnia, general muscle aches and pains, flus and colds. And they also tend to not look after the health very well. So they're not really good at following through with exercise regimens or diet regimens. And in fact, they actually may put off going to sleep at night, and sort of some phenomenon we call bedtime procrastination.
What about the impact to our heart and for chronic procrastinators especially?
Yeah, so this is an area we just started looking into. So most of the research you did initially was looking at these acute health problems. But you can imagine that over time, if you're not engaging in, healthy practices and you're a bit stressed and after time, years and years of that, that's going to build up sort of a profile that puts you at risk for a number of different chronic health conditions. And so one study, we found that people who, we looked at people who had poor heart health, so hypertension and cardiovascular disease, and we compared those to healthy controls. And we noticed that those who had poor heart health scored significantly higher on this measure of chronic procrastination. And this was above and beyond all other known personality factors and fatigue and age and all these other factors that you would expect to predict poor heart health. So it was, even though it was a, what we call a cross-sectional study, it was sort of just a snapshot comparing two groups, it was very suggestive of the fact that there may be increased risk for poor heart health with people who chronically procrastinate because they're chronically not looking after their health over time and being chronically stressed as well.
So what are some typical approaches people take to deal with procrastination, and why don't those solutions tend to work? Why isn't there this, you know, magic silver bullet?
I think because most of the research has focused on sort of the, you know, procrastination being something rational and, you know, being poor time management or being lazy, or thinking that, you know, people who procrastinate aren't being serious about, you know, their procrastination and the effects that it has on themselves and others. So they just need to be told how, you know, bad it is and just sort of be motivated by a bit of guilt, you know, and that's actually the worst thing you can do. Whereas, you know, myself and my colleagues, we've, you know, recently been really focusing in on this emotional aspect. And there has been some research following through with that where there was one study where they had procrastinators go through an 8-week training of emotional regulation, which is a way to manage negative emotions and sort of down-regulate those negative emotions and not feel so guilty and bad. And then what they found, it was quite effective for reducing procrastination, which again suggests that these emotions are at the heart of procrastination, not poor time management or laziness or people needing to be guilted into taking action.
Well, let's pause right here and bring in Janet joining us from North Fond du Lac. Janet, hi.
Hello.
What's on your mind about procrastination?
Well, you mentioned what caused you to get away from it. I was a procrastinator, but then I retired. And I used to, you know, if I had to be somewhere at a certain time, before I left the house, if I had little chores to do, I wanted to get them all done. And to me, that would be a benefit. So when I came home, I would feel good. You know, so that was kind of a pick-me-up. I might have partially be in the category of a perfectionist. And also, I've lived with cancer for the last 7 years, and I don't know if it's the meds or what, but if I see something that's got to be done, I do it right away. I don't put it off. And I have a good feeling about it, but I don't know why. It certainly has changed, you know, but that's all I have to say.
Jana, thank you so much for that perspective. Fuchsia, what do you hear there?
I think, you know, that those, when you've got those sort of life-changing circumstances, that can certainly impact your overall outlet, and it can be outlook, and it can certainly be enough to give you a different perspective, especially about your life and your future and what's meaningful. And that is one of the things that we do suggest as another way, means of dealing with procrastination, is often if you can find something meaningful and sort of focus on the meaningfulness of the task, you know, whether it's a larger meaningfulness in terms of, you know, your life and wanting to sort of enjoy every moment of it, or something specific about that task, that can be quite beneficial for reducing procrastination, because you're not focusing on the negative anymore. You've shifted your attention to something positive, which can be very useful.
What about long-term projects or tasks that have to be done over time? May require months or even years of our attention in order to be completed. How do you approach those?
That's a really good question, because yeah, those are the ones where you're not going to have those immediate rewards. It's going to be some time before you get the reward. So again, I think with those types of tasks, you know, if you have a long-term goal and you can break it into smaller milestones so that every time you reach a smaller milestone, you get that sense of satisfaction that you're making progress, that can certainly help. You know, if you're always focused on the end outcome and it's really, really far down the road, that's pretty much a recipe for procrastination, because we do, you know, we need to get rewards along the way. We need to know that we're making progress with things. But even in the case where, you know, it might be difficult to find those small rewards, find something meaningful in it. You know, are you learning a new skill set? You might not like what you're doing with this particular project, but maybe you're learning something. Maybe you're bettering yourself as a person. Just I think shifting perspective and trying to focus on something meaningful and something positive in that task can really go a long way to sort of helping along the way instead of giving into those negative feelings, which might push you towards procrastinating.
It sounds like scientists have a pretty good handle on what's going on with procrastination. Where does the research go from here?
Well, I think, I mean, the field of procrastination is actually burgeoning quite a bit. We're actually having 11th Biennial Procrastination Research Conference at the University of Sheffield this summer, where we bring together procrastination researchers from all over the world. And these sorts of conferences are great because this is where we get to discuss where does the field need to go next. A lot of people are focusing on interventions. So what sort of interventions need to be designed to help people who are chronic procrastinators manage those moods and sort of get on with the tasks they need to? There's a lot of researchers, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, looking into sort of the brains of people who are chronic procrastinators. How do they differ from those who are not chronic procrastinators? And what does that tell us about the ways that we can address procrastination? And I think from my perspective, I'm much more right now interested in understanding those long-term health effects. There's been very little research done on the long-term health effects of procrastination. And so I think if it's something where we can really raise awareness about those health effects and the issue that there are some detrimental effects to your health that might be quite damaging, especially if it puts you at increased risk for chronic health condition, then maybe more people will not take procrastination so lightly and maybe seek out help before it becomes too chronic.
Fuchsia, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Fuchsia Sirwa is a professor of psychology at the University of Sheffield in the UK, where she studies procrastination and its health risks. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is The Ideas Network.